Hi, this is Chris. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey.
Oh, hi there. Welcome to Odyssey. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but most folks around here call me Whit. Why don't you get the whole family together and join us for another exciting adventure in Odyssey?
Brink, this is Sodom.
Uh-oh.
Colorful.
Dog with the belly of a snake.
Wicked.
Open up the door, Lot.
Sinfield.
Flee.
Milka, don't look back!
What do you think? Will God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah?
And now, Kids Radio presents Adventures in the Bible, the program that brings the Bible to life in your life. I'm John Avery Whittaker, and today's topic is foundations. What are they, and why are they important? Well, let's start off with a few callers. Hello? You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, we're talking about foundations. What do you think they are?
Aren't they those big farms down south?
No, I believe you're thinking of plantations.
Oh. Well, then, could I get a large pepperoni pizza to go?
No, this is Adventures in the Bible on Kids Radio. There aren't any pepperoni pizzas here.
Well, then how about sausage?
No, I think you have the wrong number. Thanks for calling, though. Hello? You're on the air.
Yes, a foundation is an endowment, that is, the funds given for the permanent support of a group, organization, or institution, and the particular institution itself which has been so endowed.
Well, yes, Eugene, that is one meaning of foundation, but it's not the one we're looking for right now. Hello? You're on the air.
Isn't a foundation the bottom floor of a building or a house?
That's what we're looking for. Now, can you tell me what they have to do with the Bible?
Well, I think it's that just like a house needs to be built on a good foundation, we need to build our lives on a good foundation, right?
Connie, is that you?
Yeah.
Connie.
Well, Eugene got to call. Besides, is that the right answer or not?
Yes, it is. Now, could somebody who doesn't work at Wit's End give me an example?
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report. Here's Brink Chetley. Crisis in the Middle East. This is Brink Chetley in the Kids Radio Old Testament Action Newsroom with a rapidly developing story in the 21st century B.C. Moments ago, we learned that two large bands of nomadic Bedouins are on the verge of a major riot. OT Action News correspondent Charles Edward Thompson is standing by live. Charles, what's the situation there?
Well, Brink, I'm here in the Middle East in the year 2091 B.C. And as you can hear, there's a great deal of commotion going on. I'm going to try to see what the ruckus is all about. Excuse me, sir, what is your name?
I am Nabor, chief shepherd to the house of Abram.
What's going on here?
His brother to a goat and his kinsmen are taking up all the good grassland for their worthless animals.
Our animals are not worthless, desert flea. Yours are!
And what's your name, sir?
I am chief shepherd to the house of Lot, and we have just as much right to be here as these camel-faced jackals.
Dog with the belly of a snake. You wouldn't be here at all were it not for Abram.
Wait a minute. What does that mean?
These locust-brained serpents' master is our master's uncle.
So Lot is Abraham's nephew.
That is the only reason these frog-lipped donkeys are here.
Our masters are now in the tent, deciding once and for all where these vulture-necked scorpions will go.
It is not me who will go, pestilence. It is you.
It is you,
frog-lipped donkey.
Well, there's the basis of this dispute, Brink. Two factions in a tug-of-war over land. What will their fates be? For that part of the story, we go inside the tent with OT Action News correspondent Lucy Schultz. Lucy?
Thanks, Charles. I am here inside of the tent with the leaders of these two families, Abram and Lot. Each of them have been talking quietly with their wives and children for some time. And wait, I believe Abram is going to make a statement.
Lot, my nephew, please. Let us stop the arguing between you and me and between your herdsmen and mine.
That is my desire, Uncle. But how? The land will not support us both.
Is not the whole country open to you? Let us separate.
Separate?
Yes. If you go to the left, I will turn to the right. If you go to the right, I will turn left.
Then you're leaving the choice to me?
Choose that we may live in peace. Where will you go?
I will move my family, my flocks and herds, and all that I possess to the region of Sodom in the Valley of the Jordan.
You have chosen well, nephew. Go in peace.
Well, Brink, you heard it yourself. Abram allowed Lot to choose, and Lot chose the best valley in the area. And as Lot and his household moved to the east, I'm going to try to get a statement from Abram. Mr. Abram. Mr. Abram.
Yes?
Lucy Schultz, OT Action News. Sir, you just gave away what looks to be the best land in the area, and you seem to have put yourself in a pretty bad position. Why would you do such a thing?
The Lord will provide for us. His promises are true.
Promises? Can you elaborate?
The Lord spoke to me and told me to look in every direction as far as I could see. And all the land that I beheld, he would give to me and my descendants forever.
How many descendants do you have?
I have none. If you will excuse me.
Well, there you have it. Abram believes in the Lord. The two families are moving off in opposite directions, but we'll stay with the story as it develops. Back to you, Brink.
Thank you, Charles and Lucy. We'll be checking in with you both soon. Well, it's certainly not news that this region seems to be in constant upheaval. Perhaps the key to understanding it is to understanding its key players. Who are these men, Abram and Lot? To answer that question, we turn to our resident experts. On the Middle East, Eugene Meltzner. And on the Bible, Connie Kendall. Eugene, Connie, welcome.
Hi, Brink.
Hello there, Brink.
Eugene, let's start with you. Abram, Lot, who are they?
Well, Brink, these two men are the son and grandson, respectively, of a man named Terah. They are both married, Abram to Sarai, obviously, and Lot to a woman we believe to be named Milcah, but we aren't sure. They came from a place called Ur in the land of the Chaldeans, far to the east of the Holy Land. They are a nomadic people, that is, they live in tents and move from place to place to place in search of better grass and pasture lands for their flocks.
So it really is very significant, then, that Abram gave up the choicest pasture land to Lot.
Indeed, Brink. It could mean the difference between feast or famine.
Connie, let's talk for just a minute about this promise from the Lord Abram spoke of. Highly unusual, to say the least.
Not really, Brink. Abram is a very devout man. This sort of thing is pretty common for him.
You mean this has happened before?
Oh, yes. God also spoke to Abram when he and his family came out of Ur of the Chaldeans.
I see. What was the nature of that conversation?
Abram said that God told him, and I quote, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And through you, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed."
Through Abram.
That's right, Brink. And in my opinion, it's a very interesting statement considering the fact that Abram has no children.
Now, I'm sorry to have to cut you off, Eugene, but we have a late-breaking development in 2091 B.C.
Oh.
Let's go back to Lucy Schultz on the scene. Lucy, what's happening there?
Well, Brink, things have been very quiet here in Abram's house in the months since Lot left. But just a few moments ago, a rider tore into the camp on horseback, very excited, terrified, in fact. And if I'm not mistaken, the rider was from the house of Lot. I'm going to try to get into... Wait, I think... Yes, Abram is coming out of the tent now, and it looks like he is going to make a statement.
Kinsman, our mom has just brought word. Lot and his family have been taken.
When? How? Chirjoli Omer and four other kings attacked with no warning. The kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and others tried to defend us, but we were overwhelmed. They've taken everything. Everyone!
Abram! What shall we do?
Arm yourselves and gather together the best fighting men in the camp. We march in pursuit.
So the order is march, Brink.
Thank you, Lucy. We'll check back with you later. Well, Eugene, an interesting development, to say the least.
Perhaps, Brink, but not entirely unexpected. Family loyalty is one of the strongest instincts, and in this time period, families were everything. Protecting them was paramount.
But can Abram protect his kinsmen? Does he have the resources? He talked of gathering fighting men, but truthfully now, how many could a camp like his boast?
Several hundred, Brink. In fact, I believe that Abraham has as many as 318 fighting men in his camp.
It still doesn't seem like very many going up against five kings.
True, but you must remember that kingdoms at this time are really nothing more than small cities, so their numbers may not be all that impressive. That, combined with Abram's tactical advantage, could
I'm sorry to interrupt again, Eugene, but we've just learned that OT Action News correspondent Charles Edward Thompson is actually with the captured lot. Ooh. Charles, what's the situation there?
Well, Brink, as you'd expect, it's more than a little frightening. It's night here now. There was a lot of celebrating earlier, but it seems to have calmed down.
Where are Lot and his family?
They're with me. You may be able to hear them whimper.
Yes, we can.
I'll see if we can talk with them. Mr. Lot.
No, please leave us alone.
Obviously quite upset, Brink, as you can hear. Everyone is very unsure about their immediate future.
Well, we want to stay with you, Charles, because we believe events are shaping up in your area that will give us a larger picture
Brink,
of what's...
Something seems to be happening here. There's a great deal of commotion outside. Yes, people are definitely running around, trying to mount horses, and I don't believe it. Brink, we're under attack.
Charles? Well, apparently we've lost contact with correspondent Charles Edward Thompson, so let's go immediately to Lucy Schultz, who is with Abram. Lucy, are you there?
Brink, Abram has split his men into two groups and has virtually surrounded the enemy. We're rushing through the center of the camp now. Several small battles are going on all around me. Swords are drawn, metal clashing against metal.
Lucy, can you see?
Abram's plan is working beautifully. The enemy has been taken completely by surprise. They're on the run.
Lucy?
Yes, Brink?
We've lost contact with Charles. Can you see him?
We're just now approaching the center of the camp, but I don't see... Wait, there he is. Yes, Brink, Charles is with Lot, and they all look fine. Charles!
Hi.
He's all right, Brink, and Abram and Lot are sharing a big hug right now. Let's see if I can't pick up the conversation.
Oh, Abram, my uncle, thank you.
All has been recovered, my nephew. Come, now we will go home.
Well, that's the story so far from 2091 BC, Brink.
Yes, and we'll continue to follow as it develops. Back to you, Brink.
Thank you, Charles, Lucy. Well, we must take a break, but OT Action News will stay with this story and return in just a moment. Welcome back to OT Action News with the latest breaking news stories from the Old Testament. I'm Brink Chetley, and we want to give you an update on the situation we've been following in the 21st century BC between Abram and Lot. Several years have passed since Lot's dramatic rescue by Abram from the five kings, and Lot and his family have moved back to the Jordan Valley, settling once again near Sodom. Eugene Meltzner and Connie Kendall, our resident experts, are here with me. Eugene, what can you tell us about Abram at this juncture?
Well, Brink, several important things have happened to Abram during the break as well. Firstly, he has changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and his wife has changed her name from Sarai to Sarah.
Actually, Brink, they didn't change their names. Their names were changed for them.
Really? By whom?
By God.
Ah, then they've been talking again.
Yes. And in addition to the name change, God has also made a covenant with Abraham.
A covenant, Eugene?
Yes, Brink. An extremely interesting ritual. A covenant is a formal binding agreement between two parties. The parties entering into the agreement will take a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon.
Yes, I'm sure it's very interesting, Eugene, but I'm afraid we'll have to save it for another time.
Oh?
We want to take you now to OT Action News correspondent Lucy Schultz, who is with Abraham. Ooh. Lucy, we understand something unusual is happening there.
Yes, Brink. It's the year 2067 B.C., and I'm here with Sarah, wife of Abraham, in a place called Mamre. Sarah, tell us what happened just a few moments ago.
Abraham was sitting in the door of his tent when he saw those three men standing before him in the distance.
Do you know who the three men are?
No, but they must be important, because Abraham immediately got up and ran out to meet them. And it isn't easy to make a 100-year-old man run, let me tell you.
So he brought them back here?
Yes, and then prepared all that food for them. And now they're just talking.
Yes, let's see if we can't hear what they're saying.
I have none. Hear my promise. I will return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son.
Why do you laugh, Sarah?
I told you, Abraham is 100, and I am 90. How could I possibly bear a child as old as I am?
Sarah!
Uh-oh. Yes, my master?
Come here. These gentlemen wish to speak with you.
Yes, gentlemen?
Why did you laugh just now?
Laugh?
Yes, you laughed and said, how could I possibly bear a child as old as I am?
Is anything too difficult for the Lord? I will return at this time next year, and you will have a son.
My Lord, I did not laugh.
Sarah, you did.
I'm sorry, my Lord.
I must leave. Walk with me a ways, Abraham.
The strangers are leaving, Brink. I'll try to tag along as far as I can to cover what they're saying.
Where will you go, Lord?
Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?
The outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is very great, and their actions exceedingly wicked.
I go there to see if things are as bad as I have heard. And if not, I will know.
Two of the strangers are moving off, Brink, but one is still talking with Abraham.
Suppose there are 50 righteous people there. Will you destroy them with the wicked? Far be it from my Lord to do such a thing.
If I find within the city of Sodom 50 righteous people, I will pardon the whole place for their sake.
Oh, Lord, I have ventured to speak to you, even though I am nothing but ashes and dust. What if there are 40 there?
For the sake of 40, I will take no action.
Holy One, you are indeed just. What if there are 30 or 20 there? Will you sweep them away too?
I will spare it for the sake of 20.
Worthy One, please do not be angry that I dare speak to you one last time. Suppose only 10 are found there.
If I find 10 righteous souls, I will spare the cities.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Well, as you can tell, truly remarkable, even miraculous goings-on at Abraham's camp. Back to you, Brink.
Thanks, Lucy. Miraculous indeed. But now events seem to be speeding up, so we want to take you directly to the city of Sodom, where OT Action News correspondent Charles Edward Thompson is standing by. Charles!
Brink, this is Sodom. Colorful, loud, wicked, sin-filled. A festering pothole of riotous living. I'm at the home of Lot. It's evening now, but at dusk, Lot and I were at the gates when two strangers approached. These strangers had a quality about them that could be only described as, well, angelic. Lot begged them to come into his house, and they're eating with him now.
Gentlemen, stay here tonight. You can rest and then be on your way bright and early in the morning.
Thank you, but no, we'll spend the night outdoors.
Oh, no, no, no. You don't want to do that.
Why not?
Well, because the people of Sodom are... Well, you just don't want to do it, believe me.
Oh, Lot, if that's what they want, let them.
Quiet, wife. Trust me, gentlemen, it's best if you stay right here, and then you...
Lot! Lot!
Oh, dear. Excuse me.
Open up the door, Lot!
What do you want, neighbors?
We saw you take two strangers into your house earlier. And you know the rules of our city. These men must meet with our approval. Bring them out.
Neighbors, friends, these men are tired. They've traveled a great distance and have taken shelter under my roof. I beg you, don't harm them. Leave them be.
Oh, you don't approve of our ways. You dare judge us, you immigrant. The whale will treat you worse than the strangers.
Brink, the men are rushing the door. You grabbed the hold of Lot.
Charles. Charles! Well, it seems we've once again lost contact with Charles Edward Thompson, but we hope that we can... Wait! Something may be coming through.
Brink! Are you there?
Yes, Charles, we are. We momentarily lost contact with you. Well, what happened, Charles?
It was fantastic, Brink! The men of Sodom were about to tear Lot apart. Then the two strangers. They're angels, Brink! I'm sure of it now. They pulled Lot inside, and just as the crowd was about to break down the door, one of the angels lifted his hand. There was a great flash of light, and the crowd was struck with blindness. You could hear them groping around outside right now. And wait, the angels are talking with Lot.
Thank you. Thank you.
And now you must take your wife and your children and anyone else in the city who belongs to you. And you must leave.
Leave?
Yes, for we are about to destroy this place.
Destroy?
The outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah has grown great before the Lord. He has sent us here to wipe them out.
Lot!
Now, wait a minute. You can't just wipe out a place. This is our home. I have a house here. Social position. Money. What about them?
They are forfeit. You must leave them behind.
Take only your wife and daughters and flee, lest you be swept away in the city's punishment.
But...
Come, we must go now.
Brink, it looks like the angels are going to physically drag us out of here. I'll have to break contact with you while that happens. I'll check back in with you when I can.
All right, Charles. Well, incredible developments to say the least. Let's turn once again to our resident experts. What do you think, Connie? Will God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah?
Absolutely, Brink. When God says he's going to do something, he does it.
Eugene, any thoughts?
Brink, what I find most fascinating about this scenario is Lot's refusal to leave.
Yes, he did seem rather stubborn about it. Any speculation on why?
Speculation is unnecessary, Brink. Lot told us why himself. A house, social status, money. Those things obviously mean the most to him, and they may turn out to be his undoing. As a matter
Eugene,
of fact,
I'm terribly sorry, but we have reestablished contact with OT Action News correspondent Charles Edward Thompson. Charles, where are you now?
Great. We're outside of the city. We've made a very good pace, but I don't think it's good enough for the angels.
Now escape for your lives and do not look behind you.
Do not stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, lest you be swept away.
Wait, please, my lord. I thank you for saving my life and family, but I'm not able to go to the mountain. There's a small town near here. Can we not flee to it instead?
Very well. Your request is granted. The town will not be destroyed.
But you must hurry there now, before it is too late. And don't look back!
They're gone, Brink. The angels are gone. We're continuing to move on as fast as we can. Wait, something's happening. The sky's turning black. A hot wind has kicked up. Here it comes! Fire and sulfur from heaven! I can feel the heat at my back. I taste the sulfur in the air. Sodom and Gomorrah are being completely wiped out!
Allah! Run!
Keep going!
But our home! Our friends! Our life is back there!
No, Milka! Don't turn! Don't look back!
Remarkable. Lot's wife looked back and crystallized. She'd been turned into a pillar of salt. This is Charles Edward Thompson reporting. Back to you, Brink.
A tragic end to this moment in time. But like most tragic moments, one that could have been avoided if the people involved had just obeyed. For Charles Edward Thompson, Lucy Schultz, Connie Kendall, Eugene Meltzner, and the entire OT Action News team, I'm Brink Chetley. Good night.
We now return to our regularly scheduled program, Already in Progress.
And I think that is one of the best examples in the Bible of the importance of foundations.
You're absolutely right. In fact, I can think of only one story that's better. The parable of the wise and foolish builders found in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Jesus had been delivering his great Sermon on the Mount, where he gave us so many wonderful guidelines on how we should live. And then, in verse 24, he says that his words are the foundation upon which we need to build the houses of our lives. You've been listening to Adventures in the Bible here on Kids Radio. Today's program featured Lucy Schultz, Charles Edward Thompson, Eugene Meltzner, Connie Kendall, and Edwin Blaggard. I'm your host, John Avery Whittaker. Join us again next time, won't you?
Abraham built his foundation on faith, selflessness, and righteousness, and God blessed him and made him a great nation. Lot's foundation was built on money, friends, and selfishness, and he lost everything. I don't know about you, but I'm going to take a cue from Abraham and build my life on the rock, Jesus Christ. Adventures and Odyssey is a presentation to Focus on the Family. On Solid Ground was written and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Dave Arnold. And our executive producer, Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.